Valuetown is a production of HearthSim. Find out how to support Valuetown by going to patreon.com/valuetown.
This is our town.
Welcome!
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Valuetown. And I'm JMV. He's Gara. He's Bar Control. And you guys might not know, but we're getting a start, maybe the third straight time here. So,
take three. Hollywood style.
I didn't like those other intros anyway, so this one's going to be much better. No, hope everybody's doing well today. It's a Tuesday. We're on a day earlier than we normally are, given that Wednesday I'm going to be, or at least tomorrow I'm going to be leaving for TwitchCon, and that goes for next week too. Just heads up, we're going to be doing the show on Tuesday as well next week. So same time though. But guys, yeah, how you guys doing? You know, have a good week. Anything awesome happen in terms of Hearthstone or life or anything?
So I was, yeah, loving the new no quest rogue, playing some decks which play my decks I've been playing have cube in it. Just jarring out the cube deck, Death Rogue, pretty sick.
You're trying to get cube nerf now. Is that the deal? Basically.
We want the cube to stay forever.
Oh man.
Should I stop playing it so it doesn't get nerfed? Is this the plan?
Just gotta sneak it in there every once in a while. You know, just blast people. Okay, all right. So, well, I mean, we're gonna go into detail, obviously, as to what decks you've been playing. But Gara, how about you? Enjoying the new meta, or if there is a new meta out there?
I'm playing all the decks that have an answer for cube in it. I play Shaman with Hex.
What is the
Mage with Polymorph?
That's right. You play Mage? Oh my god!
When I play Boria, I play double MC Tech, double Owl, and Tink Master just to have a small chance.
I still get owned playing those.
I know it's
Tink
bad.
Master.
That's like the default, like the package you need to have.
Yeah.
The default package, man.
Yeah, exactly, right.
It's rough to play control right now. You kind of have to go for, you know, one of the aggro decks. Aldrog seems pretty good. And there's this new Zalae. I think that should be deck of the day. There's the new Odd. I don't even know what to call it. The Baku Hunter with some weird package in it.
Oh, is it?
It has like it has like egg and cube, but it's Baku.
Okay.
It has like the guy that does like double damage with hero power and stuff. I faced it. I actually lost to it on ladder. Apparently, it's Zalae's creation.
Huh. Yeah. Well, if you don't have much heal in your deck, I could see how a couple six shots from the hero power can kill you.
But it plays also like X and cube and stuff.
Yeah, it's because X and cubes are just so hard to get rid of, right? So,
but Baku Hunter, yeah.
Baku Hunter, all right.
That's like the only super new deck that I've seen.
I mean, I've seen like all kinds of things. I mean, obviously I've been just kind of goofing off, so I haven't really been in the legend ranks this season. But, you know, around like rank 3, rank 5, I mean, I've been seeing tons of Paladin, first off. Like, I mean, Paladin's definitely back, at least in that rank. And, you know, Witch's Cauldrons in those Paladins, all kinds of weird things, you know, that are not even just our traditional odd Paladins. And then I even saw a Baku Warlock, like something weird like that. Yeah, so. Yeah, Eden Paladin's pretty good too. Both Paladins are actually pretty strong. The Eden Paladin's pretty interesting. It's got a couple new elements to it, which we can talk about in a second too. But I have to say, like, it's been better than I expected, at least in terms of at least seeing some changes to the meta, even if it is just like this week, maybe, you know, only lasts maybe a week or two. We'll see. But so far, I mean, I've been having, it's been pleasant seeing some different stuff on the ladder recently. But anyways, guys, we're going to be talking about some different things too. Events, HCT Orange County is coming up, and Border Control is going to be there, as well as talk about the Gold Rush, which Border Control also competed in, at least for a period of time. Then we're going to go into more of the balance changes, talk about the meta, get a look at the meta pulse, and really just kind of take a look at some of the decks that we've just now been talking about. And then at the end, we're going to have some Q&A, as always, so be ready for that in the Twitch chat, or you can go ahead and tweet that to us at ValueTownGG, and we'll be sure to read those out. But yeah, so let's talk about events a bit. So HCT Orange County, War Control, you're getting ready for that. I know decks aren't submitted yet, so I'm sure you're not going to spoil any of those for yourself. But what are you looking forward to it? And anything that in particular you're looking forward to, or maybe anybody you're looking forward to facing or playing against?
So it's the first tournament after this nerf of Giggity event and stuff. So the previous tournament meta we saw at 4 was kind of almost solved. You had the different lives. You had aggro, and then you had this the control life and anti-control. Now it's going to be interesting to see what happens when you can't play this anti-control lineup with Questjoke anymore. If maybe the control can be better now, or maybe people all think the anti-control strategy doesn't work, then they stop playing aggro. It'll be interesting to see how people go with their lineups, especially with the rise of some decks. Like with Giggling gone, all the cube decks have suddenly got a lot better now, like Cube Lock and Cube Rogue. So I'm just excited to see what lights people are going to bring and what their strategies are for the tournament.
You think the aggro lineup is going to be super popular? This is weird asking you, because it's like, I don't want you to compromise your chances at the tournament, but the aggro seemed to be, seemed to work really well. At the end of last season, as well, probably the entire last season. So, Gara, what do you think? How do you think the aggro lineup is going to look?
Some neutral spoilers. I think everyone's going to bring some sort of druid. I think you can play druid in every lineup.
Somebody's going to bring druid to these tournaments? Are you kidding?
Everyone. I made the bold statement. Every single player will have druid in their lineup.
So
if you
bold.
Have an aggro lineup or a control lineup or anti-control lineup, all the lineups.
Exactly. There's one for all of them. Yeah.
Plenty of decks to choose from. You can go Token Druid in an aggro lineup. Yeah. You can go Taunt Druid. Yeah. You can go Big Druid. You can go Maligos Druid. It's so funny. There was there's a very popular clip from Thijs where someone asked him what is a good deck to climb to legend, and he counted up 12 different druid decks.
No, I saw it. I saw it. Yeah. He basically said, you can try this druid. Oh,
you can
try Starliner. You can try Starliner. And exactly. Now, that was a pretty funny video. As strong as druid is, it's kind of funny if you actually look at, HS Replay right now, and it's ranked 4 through legend. I mean, druids, in tier 2, right? They're not like one of the top tiers, because you're seeing more aggressive type of decks at the top. Taunt Druid's obviously risen because of just like, I think this very unified rise in just all out mid range aggro, whatever kind of decks that people are trying with odd paladin, even shaman, that sort of thing. But so it's kind of funny, because people say, druid's not that high. I mean, why is everybody talking about that? But I think that especially in the event meta, I mean, you're right. Every single person is going to have at least one druid. It might be all different, different types of druids, but at least one druid will be in there. And
at least one.
At least
yeah.
one.
At least
four
one.
What
least
kind of odds
druid.
Is that, 1 to 100?
Yeah.
If you bet $2, you will get $2.01.
You should get credit for 2 wins in the Swiss if you don't bring a druid.
I bet there will be 1 druid at least.
Yeah.
512 people are participating.
Yeah. So the Orange County, it's at the Esports Arena, right? I believe.
Yep.
So another cool event there. They're always always really great about hosting events and great with production there. So that should be a lot of fun. And then you're just going to stick around for BlizzCon, is that right? Like, you're going to hang around for a few days?
Yeah, hang around a few days, explore. Well, I was going to say explore LA, but just ladder for the end of the season. And then, go to BlizzCon after that.
Just ladder. You could go ladder at Disneyland or something, sit in the Magic Kingdom and just be on your laptop.
That's a roller coaster.
Yeah. So that'd be good. Well, at least we'll get a chance to see you at BlizzCon. That'll be fun. All right. Well, let's see. The next event we have here is the Gold Rush. So Twitch Rivals Gold Rush, which we talked about last week, because it literally just started on the day of Valleytown on Wednesday. This is a Twitch event that Frodan kind of put together, and it was all about starting an account from scratch and who could get to 5,000 gold the fastest. Yeah, and you're not allowed to buy packs and with your own money. You're not allowed to go in and do that sort of thing or play with your friends to get, a lot of some of the quests, the gold quests or whatever. And Bor, you got a chance to do it, and you were doing really well in the beginning, right? I think we're one of the folks that got off to a really quick start. So what strategy did you take there, in generally speaking?
I just practiced a bit of Arena beforehand, the dual class, a couple of days beforehand, work out what was good, and then I just played some. It's a bit high rolly with the gold and stuff, so you can get off to a fast start just because if you get 12 wins or 11 wins, you can get between 200 gold and then 400 gold off the rewards.
Yeah.
So it looks like you're doing really well. In reality, you're doing the same as another guy. You just got a bit lucky on RNG. The gold.
Oh, man, that's brutal. So on average, how many times would you have said that you needed to play Arena? If you were, 7-8 win type of average arena player, how many are we talking about here?
I think the guy who won it, someone told me he did 52 runs.
Oh,
and wow. His average was 9 point something.
All right, let's take a look. And it just finished earlier, I believe, to this morning. Because last night I was looking at it and somebody, I forget who it was. Was it Tarkin? I'm not even sure it's Tarkin. It might have been Asmo. They had 4,600 gold. So they were really close. And then, I kind of looked at it earlier and then all of a sudden it was finished. And it looked like LGK Collins made a huge push at the end. He was a good 600 behind when I was looking at it. So, obviously congrats to your teammate there for finishing second. But you mentioned a little bit of drama maybe that went on towards the end of this, Bor. What happened at the end and with Zatarkin?
Yeah, it was odd with the, because in the thread they said take care of your health, we're gonna be monitoring health, but in the rules there was no strict time limit on how much you can play for. And then after 20 hours, I think Asmon was told he had to stop streaming because they don't want you to stream too much and then cause yourself to pass out on stream or whatever. And then because he had to stop streaming and go to bed, then Educated Collins appears and catches up and gets into second place, and people were like, well, should they have stopped him? It's a fine line to draw between health and continuing playing for the money, right?
Or education, or maybe Educated Collins paid him $2,000 to tell the guy to go to sleep. Hey, I'll have you the difference between second and third. No. Yeah, I mean, we definitely don't want to see people dying on stream or anything like that. So was that part of the rules? Was there actually rules on sleep? You have to sleep or you can't play more than X hours a day? I don't remember.
There's an update in the thread on the 17th of October, which
was
says,
there? Okay.
Take care of your health. Admins will monitor closely. We will force mandatory fake if needed.
Okay. That's...
I don't think it was in the original rules, but they sort of added it after. And it's always in the rules. Admins have the power to add any additional rules sort of thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So what are your all's take on that? Should they have done that?
If they're going to be consistent along with everyone, 20 hours max, then I think it's fine. If they just have that as 20 hours, that's the most you can stream, and yeah, leave it at that. I think that's cool because you don't want people getting ill, because you don't know yourself at some points if you've been on for too long. It's just sort of adrenaline might push you through too far.
Yeah. No, I mean, just the kind of people that, in this competitive gaming space are folks that, generally will push yourselves and a lot of times beyond what you probably should be pushing yourself. So I personally agree with that. And unfortunately, yeah, it sounds like it might have cost maybe Asmo a little bit, but Gar, you're going to chime in there?
Maybe they should have lowered the gold goal a bit before so people don't have to play that much.
I don't know. I kind of like that it was a week.
Was that too easy? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't want it to be easy, you know what I mean?
You don't want people play for 22 hours in a row as well. I don't think that's very...
I think what you could have done is just
Of course it's not there.
Yeah, well, I think you could have just established the play hours. You can only play between these hours and this hour, and then... some people could sleep. I mean, obviously, some people have to stay up a little bit late for their...
Kind of like a tournament, right? Like you have to check in at like actually 6 have to.
Yeah, yeah. So something like that, you know, like, and then people could sleep, cool. Right? Like you would be able to sleep. This is more like rat race type of thing, you know what I mean? It's just like you can choose to sleep if you want to, but you know the other dude's just gonna be like.
But also, like for spectator, you can't really follow the tournament for like 22 hours. Or something.
Yeah, it is super. Well, there was no spectator, right? Like the spectator were their individual streams for the most part, right?
Yeah, so. That's what I mean. If you wanna follow from start to finish, who's gonna win? Like it's impossible to do that. Like you're not gonna stay awake for 22 hours to follow who's gonna win.
Yeah, yeah. It's almost like 24-hour stream type of thing. But this is like 6 days, right? So I think that overall you're just kind of concluding the event. I think that the event was pretty cool. I think the concept, the kind of difficulty was good. I mean, you saw some folks struggling, you know, like some arena folks that you thought you would think that was doing well, but they had a hard time. And then you saw some folks that, you know, don't normally get a lot of publicity, you know, get a chance to show their names. Like here's a list of them. I don't know what happened here. Why were these names crossed out?
When they just say they're giving up, right?
Oh, they're just giving up. Okay.
Exactly. Because when you see some guys like 600 gold ahead of them, they're like, might as well just stop, right?
Really? Oh, okay. I guess. I mean, like, oh, I guess when you reach 5,000. Okay, I see.
Yeah,
you have to
reach 5,000. If you 5, see 000. Two guys have reached 5,000, there's one guy 600 ahead of you, like, I'm going to end, right?
Yeah, yeah, I see what you mean. I wasn't sure if it ended right when he hit 5,000, and it was just kind of like placement at that point. Oh, okay, so these guys actually had to finish, too.
Yeah, they had to finish, yeah.
That's interesting. Okay. Oh, yeah, so anyways, you guys did pretty good. FTK did pretty good. Jackie's top six here. You know, and Rage, too. I thought Rage was going to do super well, too. I think he hit like a super big lull there. Same with Dreads, too. Dreads, like, didn't go much further after that this first couple days. So where are you on here? Let me see you.
I quit quite early. I concluded that if I wasn't cubing things and then activating the cubes, it wasn't fun playing Hearthstone. So I went back to Constructed.
So you're saying you did it for streaming, or you did it for mental health, I guess.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's probably not very often you get a chance to draft cubes. But okay, well, anyways, congratulations to Tarkum, Educated Collins, and Asmo for... getting a good chunk of money there. The $25,000 prize pool is pretty cool. It's like bigger than the HCT stuff. What's the HCT OC prize pool this week?
They're all 15K, all these.
Oh, 15. Oh, all of them are right. Okay. Yeah, not too bad then. Hopefully we get some more of those. You know, I think that I think we can, as a community or event organizers, we can always put those kind of things together, I feel like, you know. You know, if Frodan wanted to, I know the Twitch Rivals is kind of like something that, you know, obviously you'd have to get approved by Twitch, and it usually jumps from like different games. It's not, you know, consecutive times that's going to be in a specific game. So maybe we can't do another Hearthstone for some time, but surely we could do something similar and, you know, just have it be called something else. That'd be kind of fun. Like, whatever happened to those, who hosted the one that Forsen used to always do okay at, or win, or almost win, the 24-hour one? Remember the 24-hour one? Was that this first the Legend?
That was like the original like rat race.
Oh yeah, the original rat. It was that basically the original rat race. Okay, yeah. That was fun at the time. But with that one, there was like a Hunger Games aspect to it, right? You could help your
You could, like, they were like, they got, they, instead of everyone being playing in like in a Hunter race, I remember it. They invited people like Reynard and Forsen and stuff, and then you could. Something through tweeting, give them packs. So some guy would get 20 packs, and then the least little guy would get 5 packs.
It gets screwed. Yeah, it's pretty rough. All right. Well, anyways, before we move on, so we've got a couple sponsors this week, but first sponsor I want to touch on is a new one, which is Robinhood. Those of you never heard of Robinhood, it's an app. It's an actual investing app that you can install from iTunes and I believe also Google Play. And the really cool thing about it is, like, it's really simple. The interface is like crazy, crazy easy. You can buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, cryptos, you know, it's all commission free. So really, really easy too. Like when you get on it, you can, you know, definitely see the latest, you know, just some of the latest numbers, you know, from in terms of the markets and everything. And then you can really quickly just log into your account and, you know, start looking up whatever, you know, stock or even crypto you want to buy, and you can kind of do it really, really quickly. So, but it's really great because, you know, again, there's no fees, you know, and it's, you know, I think for folks that have never traded before and maybe intimidated by it, you know, like going to these websites and, you know, like you see all this stuff and it's just like, dude, how do I just buy a stock? You know, some people don't know how to do that, you know, and they've never traded themselves. You know, I think Robinhood's a great place to kind of go and you know, not be too, it's just not inundated with all these tools. It's like, it's very simple looking. And again, the charts and the numbers are very, you know, they're very direct, you know, as to like, and what the market looks like today and maybe some stocks to take a look at, you know, some of like the 100 most popular stats, that type of thing. So, yeah, anyways, take a look at it, you know, it's free, you know, you can go, to, let's see, it's like, so it says Robinhood is giving, oh, listeners a free stock, like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. Okay. So yeah, if you go and sign up now, I think if you go to Robinhood, value.robinhood.com, you can actually get a little bit of, you know, money or stocks like added to your account immediately. So you can even try it, you know, instantly. So, it's, you know, pretty, you know, they did like $10 or something for me to try out, and it was actually pretty cool. So anyways, give that a try, and, you know, let them know you appreciate them sponsoring ValueTown. And, you know, if you go to value.robinhood.com, they'll be able to tell that you came from there. So we'd appreciate it if you go and do that. Okay, so what do we do now? Next thing, let's see, Meta. So let's talk about the actual Meta after the balance. And, you know, we talked a little bit about just some of the decks that we saw, but, you know, overall, would you say that it's changed? You know, that's just kind of like overall kind of statement. Has the meta changed since removing, those three, or making changes to those three cards?
I want to start, then Board Control does like,
okay, yeah. Sure. Go for it.
I think it had a huge impact on the game. Obviously. So first of all, the mana worm change, like there was only one playable mage archetype and it was Tempo Mage. And it was actually quite a high popularity. If you look at the previous popularity of mage on the ladder in all ranks, and it was probably around 20% at some points, even. It's a huge popularity. And now mage is completely gone. And those 20% or whatever, 14%, depending on what rank you played, got replaced by other decks. So that's huge. So there's no more mage, basically. Is that a good thing? That's a different type of discussion, if that change is good at all. I don't think it was very good, but yeah, whatever, it doesn't matter. And obviously the Anoetron or Giggling Inventor change had also a huge impact. Obviously, it disappeared from all the decks that played it, and a lot of decks played it. It was in almost every deck, to be honest. It was like in Token Druid. It was in Hunters, even. It was like in all Aggro Rogues. It was a setup for Fungalmancer. It was a core card for Quest Rogue, and it had the biggest impact on that. So in my opinion, Quest Rogue disappeared. I think the people that played Quest Rogue were just... Yeah, okay, it didn't disappear completely, but I don't know how, like, I think it's not even decided yet.
Yeah,
the thing is that the meta is like slow enough for Quest Rogue to exist, but yeah, there's now more paladins coming into play as well, and that's quite an interesting dynamic. But obviously it had a huge impact, especially with Odd Paladin making a comeback now. There was like no Odd Paladin. It kind of replaced the Tempo Mage. And so overall, it obviously had a huge impact, even though only two cards got changed, because the biggest thing that changed, which was very kind of unpredictable, is like the amount of Taunt Druids. There's like so many Taunt Druids right now. And the main reason is obviously because everyone is like hyping up Druid, and Druid is like the strongest class in the game. And that the strongest Druid to beat other Druids is Taunt Druid. So you play Taunt Druid, and Taunt Druid is weaker against aggro decks than any other Druid. So it's like overall a very interesting dynamic. And even though only those two cards got changed, we don't really count the wild card. The meta has changed quite a bit. So that's
Yeah. Boar, what's your take?
Yeah, pretty much echo most of what Gara said. I know that the current guy who's rank one legend on EU though is still playing Questrogue, and he told me some ridiculous stats in my chat today. So I'm not sure how dead Questrogue really is, if that might liven up again soon.
Like, is he beating the? I saw that, like, Fino was streaming it the other day, and he got so destroyed by every aggro deck.
I don't think he's beating aggro, but there just isn't much. I think he'd be off pattern still because Fan of Knives is so strong against that matchup and Vanish and stuff. I don't think you need the Gigalink for that one, but you beat up all the cube decks. And there's just a lot of cube decks around. Taunt Druids, the Hunter, there's even Cube Warlock around. That's had a renaissance of it now. And then Evenlock as well. You, any of the slow decks, right, you're still going to beat them because the Vanish is just too strong against them.
Wow. Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, I haven't seen it. Let's bring up the stats for
So Questrogue became even more polarized.
Also, Questrogue lost its worst matchup, right? That's the thing about it. Like, even though it lost its best card, it loses its worst matchup. So
that's what I said. Like, before the nerves, it's so stupid. Like, because Giga Mentor wasn't like one of the core cards for completing the quest at all. Like, you still have the infinite combo with the Zola, you still have Zonya, and, you know, you still have Valera, you still have the Vanish and all these kind of things. You still have the Charger, the Wild Spine. Not Wild Spine, the
Scale High.
Scale High. But you lose your worst matchup. It got destroyed. Like, it got removed from the game. That's a huge deal. So, of course, you will try to make Questrogue work when you're... Your 0% matchup is gone. So yeah, on paper, Questrogue should exist.
I still say Questrogue, like, even with our, like, you know, if we're looking at even just some of the data that we have just for Legend or just the last day or so.
Can we talk about this Moloch Mage, please? Because I was jokingly saying that, like,
oh god, where is it? Is it on here? Oh, there it is. Yeah, dude.
It was tier one.
Yep.
On last day meta.
Legend one, yeah.
And it plays Malamem,
that's
kinda cool. I thought this list had no Mana Worm, but
no, this one has Mana Worm in it. I mean, this is just the core card. So if you actually if we look at the really good one, let's see. Wait, what's the best ones with 55, yeah. Does this have Mana Worm in it? Does it really have Mana Worm in it?
Yeah.
No, this one doesn't have Mana Worm in it. Okay. This one has no Mana Worm in it.
It has two Marlock Raiders in it though. Oh.
It would be funny to put a Mana Worm with only Frostbolt and Fireball.
Yes. No, this is classic right here, man. This is good stuff.
Let's go.
Yeah, this is old school. Yeah. This is Merzu. Merzu, basically. No, it's cool. You know, I mean, you got to do something fast. You know, if indeed Questrogue is still out there, you know, I think you still have to see it. I'm kind of curious to see what the popularity of Questrogue is, because, you know, on the grand scale, you know, if you look at just like a lot more, just, you know, 46,000 games here. Oh, actually, if you just look on the last day here, well, actually, what am I doing here? Oh, I don't have enough data here. Did I click on something wrong? Okay. Well, that was weird. There should have been enough data there. But if you just seem to look at the last 3 days, you know, Questrogue is still down here somewhere, right? It's, where is it?
Is it even there?
Oh, where
no,
was it?
That's why I kind of said, no, I checked it earlier. It's not there.
It was in the tier three. It was definitely in tier three when I was looking at it a second ago. Yeah, it was. Where was it? I just, like, literally saw it a second ago.
Oh, it must be tier zero.
Tier zero, yeah. No. But anyways, like, it doesn't show up very high, you know, at least in terms of, like, the general players. So I still think that there's a very big, you know, kind of pilot, just people that are super good at it, you know, are the only ones. Here you go, Questrogue. We still have 49.61% here. And, you know, that's nothing like Fino's percentage. You know, Fino's percentage sounds more like, you know, 55 to 60%, and, you know, so there's still some type of, you know, very big difference between the top level players and just your average legend player. And so I what I'm trying to get at is, like, I still don't think you see it until you get to, like, the top 100, you know, top 200 or something like that, where like they're like top 1,000, you're probably not seeing it that much. And so yeah, it's kind of, if you go to popularity and we kind of look at what is the most popular in these different ranks, I mean, Legend, you know, we still see Death Rattle. Look at Death Rattle Hunter, it's crazy popular. It's nothing different than the last few weeks, but yeah, I'm looking for Quest here. Where's Quest?
Yeah, I think the Death Rattle Hunter is the deck which is actually like really common across all of Legend.
Yeah.
Because stuff like Murloc Mage, I see it. It's like tier one. I'm like, I faced this deck 0 times.
I know, right?
Where's this coming from? Yeah.
I mean, look at even just Quest Rogue. It's only 2% right now in Legend. So, and look at the rest of the ranks. I mean, it's virtually not being played. Yeah. I'm still looking for Murloc Mage. It's somewhere down here. It's something crazy.
You must have gone past it, right?
Oh, did I go past it? Maybe. Yeah.
I can't see anyway.
Yeah. Anyways, you go to hsreplay.net, go look for, you know, just kind of scan it. But I did put together just our meta report, just like we always do, just a real quick look at rankings and popularities this week. So power rankings, you know, we saw basically Paladin zoom up to the top. You know, they were somewhere in the 6-7 range last week, and now, you know, super at the top, knocking Hunter out of that number one position. Shaman's up quite a bit too. So, you know, even Shamans and, you know, folks that are still playing Shadowwalk, like Gaara here. And then Rogue down a little bit. Not sure why, because it
quest
sounds
rogue,
like,
I guess, right?
Yeah, which quest rogue? Yeah, I guess. I mean, it sounds like it's still doing decent for at least the people that were having success. And these are power rankings, right? These aren't even popularity. So Warlock, same put. Druid, Warrior down a little bit. Just a slight bit, not that much. I think, like, Druid's down more.
How is Mage above Warrior?
Mage isn't above
Warrior. Mage. Oh, no, it's not. Mage is bottom.
Mage is at the bottom. Yeah.
At the class popularity.
Oh, popularity. Oh. Yeah. Oh, how is it above? Because Warrior was way the hell. So, you know, we've seen the crash, but maybe the crash is still continuing. You know,
how does it work for class popularity? Is it like number of games? Because if it's number of games, right, Warrior could still be just played for the same duration of time, but you fit in 3 Murloc Mage games for every 1 Warrior game.
But it also says,
no,
like,
no, it's not time, it's number of matches. So
it's number of matches, right? Which makes sense for Warrior to be bottom, right? If it takes the longest to play the games.
Oh, that's a good point. I never thought about that.
Because Warrior also says 4.7% and Mages
4.8%. It's like 0.1. Wow. It's actually less than that. It's like 0.2 or 3% from each. Like, I rounded up and down.
This is also like what I low-key predicted in a way, because Temple Mage was by far the best matchup for Warrior. And Warrior was already pretty bad. And Warrior lost its
best
only
matchup.
Really good matchup, like by the best matchup. So it definitely had the biggest impact on Warrior as a class. I really think like Warrior is in a really, really, really bad spot right now.
I don't think it's that bad.
You think it's, yeah, I don't think it's that bad either.
I face Warrior a decent amount. Like, it's way more than Priest, Mage, and Shaman. I actually face Warrior like consistently at high ranks because they're just farming the aggro guys. There's still quite a few aggro people around.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think they're, you know, Warrior is a very polarized deck, right? So it has its place, you know, in keeping aggro in check. But that's all it does. Like, we can't, you can't do anything else with Warrior. That's like the only archetype it has. So. From that standpoint, Gaara, you know, I guess I agree that it's very like one dimensional right now, but, you know, it definitely has a place though. See, anything else in popularity side that took a huge hit? Priest is up a tiny bit, I guess, out of the fact that just nothing changed really with it. Let's see, Paladin up just a tiny bit. Paladin was like, wasn't Paladin at the bottom? I think Paladin might've been at the bottom last week. So, That's obviously quickly rising. Druid down just a tiny bit. Warlock, so crazy. It's crazy popular. I think Druid's actually down because Druid used to be like right up there, number one. So, but you know, Warlock, Hunter, Druid, just they still got a great hold.
So, like from what we can see here is that Paladin actually struggled the most against the Giggling Inventors. Like, if you think about it, it makes the most sense. Like, especially if you play odd Paladin, like, as soon as a Giggling comes down, like, what do you do about it?
Just like, trade five hits, basically.
Trade 5 minions.
Exactly. Trade 5 minions. Might not even kill the 1/2s.
Especially, War Control played so much. Paladin.
The reduction of druids, especially as Gar was saying, the rise of taunt druid. Odd planning against taunt druid really isn't so bad for you. It's because there's no spreading plague any, for that matchup, right? I think that there's been a large decline in spreading plague druids because no token druid, right? And then mana druids decreased in popularity. And this is where the patterns come back. It's just feeding on all these all the cube decks that are on the in the meta right now.
Mm-hmm.
Also, like Death Rattle Rogue is a thing now.
Is it?
Yep.
Yeah.
I'll make it a
which
thing.
Which one? Like the one with like the devil swords and stuff, or what's in it?
Cube Death Rattle Rogue.
I mean cube. I get the cube part.
Yeah, I faced a rogue today that cubed a Leeroy and
okay, so it's cube charge stuff, you know, whether it's devil swords or
he almost had to cape me with like a board full of Leeroys. It was ridiculous. I've never seen
sounds
that.
Sounds fun to me, man. Sounds good. Yeah, I guess Cube should be on their watch list. I'm really curious to see what their watch list looks like right now.
Yeah, Cube is very annoying. I wonder how the game would be like. The game would be so different with a Cube nerf. Like, wow, I can't even imagine. The game would be so different, like 100% different, just Cube changed.
Well, the cube change would probably take the burst finishes away from three or four huge decks, right? And then, you know, we'd probably be left with just like more like OTK or whatever would look more like just Malagus, I guess. I guess that would be the only deck that we would have that'd be sort of like that. But yeah, I agree. I think a lot of the top decks would be totally nerfed down if cube was nerfed, which is why a lot of people asked, you know, were wondering why cube was not nerfed given just the mechanic of it, you know, and just how it can be abused and you know, and how it ends up being a lot of winning conditions. So
also like cube is not a fun card to play against, in my opinion, just because of the lack of counterplay to it. It usually just involves like some crazy proactive mana cheat kind of play with like little to no counterplay to it, so
yeah,
it's fun to play against it. Like having cube as like the best card in the game or whatever would be okay if you had probably like way more counterplay to it, like way better answers in general. I think that's like the problem. It's just not fun to play against it.
Well, I think that I'm not sure if it'll be completely a fix, but I feel like a mana increase to cube is more along the right type of nerf to cube, just because, you know, like the mechanic is cool if you can't trigger the death rattle on the same turn, right? Like there's no counterplay because you can't counterplay it if he play deads, you know, on a cube because you know he does in one turn. But you know, if the cube was more like it takes two turns to actually get the value from it, then that would be a different story. You know, I feel like cube would be a very cool and compelling type of card, but the fact that people can kind of pull it off in the same turn is the issue right now for me, at least.
Yeah, I agree. Like the cube play death combo, the cube Umbra combo, like maybe even cube faces in the same time, cube Tal'Drum. Yeah, it's like you said, it's like these, mm-hmm. or like the revival Hadronox into cube, like all usually cube evolves around like a broken combo play with mana cheat, and
I mean cube on curve is good.
What'd you say?
I don't know. In all the lists with cube is like the highest from the cube's a middle win rate card and all these decks. I really think the main issue with some of these matches being polarized is because of Death Knights rather than because of stuff like cube. There is a counterplay to cube, right? People are playing. You're saying playing double owl and your odd warrior. If there was no Rexar and Death Rattle Hunter, maybe you'd be able to win that matchup. Like you can owl the cubes away, it's all right. And then there's other times where you have cube in your hand and then it's so reliant on you having a minion. If you're playing a more aggressive deck, you can always just clear out the minions, right? And then the cube's just a completely dead card quite often. I don't see the issue with cubes so much.
Well, like I think that the only all those scenarios that you kind of played out with are great. I agree with. It's just play dead being like one mana, I feel like is the only possible issue. And it, you know, if Hunter has any kind of sticky minion that's decent, you know, what in the future or whatever, then all of a sudden cube's an issue just with play dead because it's just too damn cheap. You know, if that card didn't exist, then cube I think would be a really cool card. You know, I think it'd be very balanced too.
Yeah, probably more play dead the issue, I'd say, than cube in that aspect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, the cube win rate is probably so low because of it's so bad versus aggro. It's like a dead card versus aggro. Yeah. So the win rate can't be that high. Yeah. It's usually like the polarization rate against control is just the nuts because of the mana cheat combo things with play dead and stuff like that. It's like more complex. You can't just look at stats. Kind of, I don't know if Blizzard does that, but with Questrope, for instance, you look at it and you're like, oh, 49% win rate deck. It's, why should we nerf that? No, it's way more complex. You really have to understand how the decks work and what and then figure out what the real issues are.
Yeah.
So, I agree. Like board control said, I think Rek'Sai is like one of the biggest problems. Speaking of DKs, it's just too strong.
Yeah, let's talk about Rek'Sai because, you know, Rek'Sai is, you know, we can say there's a lot of, there's a two or three really strong hunters, right? Like in the meta. Deathrattle obviously being the one, the flavor of right now. Secret, not too long when Board Control made the Secret Hunter big again. And then Spell Hunter, you know, probably an expansion or two before that, right?
And maybe Zalae's Baku
Hunter. Okay, and maybe Zalae's Baku
Hunter. That doesn't play Rek'Sai, though.
But, you know, it doesn't play Rek'Sai. Oh, it doesn't play Rek'Sai. Okay,
it's Baku.
Dude, thumbs up for that one, right? So I guess, like, my question to you is, like, is Rek'Sai such a problem? Like, would Rek'Sai have such a huge influence on the meta? You know, like if they just nerfed Rek'Sai, for instance. I mean, because speaking of Rek'Sai specifically, and not just all the DKs, just like specifically Rek'Sai, if they nerfed Rek'Sai, would it really have that big of an impact on the meta? It just would just, or would it just kill Hunter and, you know, everything else just moves up because of that?
It wouldn't kill Hunter. Hunter's still powerful without it. Rek'Sai's only really useful against the control guys so much, yeah. Right? It's actually can be quite bad. Even though it has the Battle Cry against aggro, it's still not a high win rate card against aggro just because it costs too much mana and often doesn't have a strong enough effect. Mm-hmm. If I was saying an issue with Rek'Sai is it was fine, and then the whole community were like, why didn't you put in these new beasts into the pool?
Yeah.
And they were like, oh yeah, here's the new beast. Here you go, Vicious Scale Hide.
Poison Charge Rush.
The poisonous cards, Cave Hydra, and suddenly it becomes a lot stronger.
Right? Like right now, it feels like you don't get bad beast combos anymore. It's like, even in super long games, they have like 12 beasts, creative beasts, and they're all good. Like they're all insane. Yeah.
My favorite is the poison rush and then do 2 damage to all minions, all of your enemy minions. Oh man, that is the brutal one, man. It's crazy. I love Cave Hydra too, but yeah, I agree. I think that if the quality of the minions wouldn't be, you know, as good, you know, from a removal standpoint, then, you know, maybe it would still be good. I still think that people would say it's a problem though. Even just having that infinite value, you know, just you just never run out of value. Just moving into late game,
it beats entire like archetypes and decks by its own by just playing Rek'Sai.
Yeah,
it's like Seeker Hunter. It's like if I was telling them how to play against Warrior, you'd keep nothing. Doesn't matter. If you've got a 1-2-3 curve, nope, out of the window. Rek'Sai is all you want. It's just kind of just silly if you're just looking for one card in a matchup.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't even matter like how well you play or so. It's just like you make big dudes. Like whatever you pick from the Rek'Sai, it's just
that's true. But again, like I feel like the element of removal from those minions is the big issue. If it was like the taunt was the best thing you could do to protect your face, you know, with those things, which at one point I kind of felt that was the case, right? Like when the very first iteration of DKs back in Frozen Throne, that was probably the best thing you could do is make a big old taunt, you know, with Nesting Rock or something like that. And you know, you could protect yourself and not have instant removal on the turn that you play it. You know, with that, I think that you could still get tempoed out, right? Like you could still get hit in the face a few times before, you know, you actually are ending up taking control of the board. So, yeah.
Yeah, now you have, cool, like, cool way too many charge, lifesteal, board clear poisonous, stealth, guys, burn fury.
Okay, I could be on board with that. Just changing Rek'Sai. You know, we'll have to see what happens there, but we don't have to wait too much longer.
Oh, what do you think about changing Malfurion? Is Malfurion too strong, Boar?
I mean, the most popular Druid deck doesn't even play it.
Oh, good point.
Which one are we talking about?
The thing with my Forlorn is that you play it on average probably like 10-4.
Yeah, I was just saying Tauntruid doesn't play it.
Oh, Tauntruid doesn't play it. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Tauntruid is such a big exception because it doesn't play UI. It doesn't play Malfurion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it doesn't play Spreading Plague. This was like the counter argument. These are the three strongest druid cards, arguably.
I think Druid's hero power is sort of, I like the fact that Druid's hero power isn't create extra value massively every turn.
Yeah.
I actually quite like the Malfurion Death Knight compared to some of the others.
I do too.
That's why I'm saying it's probably too strong. I feel like it's so powerful. Like, against Temple Mage, for instance, you just had to have Malfurion and you just win.
I mean, that's just Death Knights is the problem, right? It's not really... Yeah. I think Malfurion's fine as a Death Knight if you want to have Death Knights in the game. Your argument is more like, don't have Death Knights at all, which I can totally get behind as well.
Yeah, and the issue we have is because the last two expansions... I actually looked at the last two expansions today. We only play, like, a handful of cards of the last two expansions. And if they continue this trend, the next expansion will also be a very low-impact expansion. And the next one, because that's the one where the rotation happens. But we will still have like Shadowwalk and Decays in the game. Like we will have Dr. Boom and Hagatha when the rotation happens. So I really don't know what Blizzard's plan looks like. Because like if the power level is low and we still have infinite value generation cards, then we will, like these cards will be broken then. We'll just replace the, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like it looks complicated to me. I don't think just making low power level cards is the solution.
No, I mean, you still have to have cool mechanics, you know, and it, but I think you can have a lower power level with cool mechanics. I think that's possible to achieve. So, but anyways, let's move on to just take a look at some of the decks too, just because, you know, we've been talking about decks, but people haven't gotten a chance to see them. So, I just took the first, you know, the top five decks of the last 24 hours in the, you know, rank four to legend rank and just to see what comes up. And, you know, a lot of, actually, that's a Taunt Druid. That's a Taunt Druid. Jeez. Yeah. Anyways, that should be a Taunt Druid. I shouldn't say Token Druid. That's really bad. That was like, we literally was making this right before the show. So, yeah. But Taunt Druid's on there. That's not, you know, not surprising. But anyways, yeah. Death Rattle Hunter, Odd Paladin, Even Shaman, Odd Rogue. No surprises here. Kind of wish the Even Paladin would have been on here. Actually, let me bring that up. I think the Even Paladin's kind of a cool deck that we haven't seen, you know, a lot of in a while, and there's some, you know, I think modifications to it recently too, which is have you got a chance, you guys played any Even Paladin recently?
I played tons of it before the nerfs.
Oh, did you? Okay, cool.
Yeah, just something different because it was getting a bit stale.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just beating up druids quite nicely for me. All those that token druid manager seemed to be strong versus them.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was quite decent in the aggro match. Like it was a good matchup against Timber Mage because you had all this lifesteal with the Corpse Taker, and then good matchup against Odd Rogue as well. But now it seems to be slightly worse because against Deathrot Hunter it's close, and then against some of these other decks that have become popular, like against Odd Paladin, that matchup's close as well. It seems to have fallen off a little bit for me.
Yeah, this one even has Wind Fury Harpy in it, which is really interesting, you know, just so you can get that Corpse Taker, you know, when you're on it too.
Another really good matchup was Even Paladin, because they don't play any Death Rattle stuff, and you have, like, really nice
That's what I get.
Push against them in clears.
Yeah.
Because you use... Yeah, but before you were also playing Black Knight as well, but now you have this...
Yeah, even Warlock, has even Warlock fallen off a lot for you guys? Because I've barely been facing it.
Warlock? Yeah. Yeah, I haven't seen much Zoo or anything recently. I saw Cube a lot on the first day, but that's about it. I didn't see much after that. So, yeah, I guess Warlock's been... I mean, on the popularity list, it's still pretty high.
It's still pretty high, yeah.
Yeah, it was quite high.
Maybe it's... I wonder which deck is pushing out the Warlock. Maybe it's the Paladin.
Yeah, could be.
I don't know,
but the Death Rattle Hunter's pushing out Evenlock, and then I think Zoo's still decently popular.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit weird, right? Because Temple Mage is gone, which was also a really bad matchup for.
And also, Taunt Druid beats the Evenlock as well, right? It's like bad matchups left, and then bad matchups got better, like rose out of the corpses of the old bad matchups.
Yeah, that's a double whammy for that. But, you know, popularity stats usually take time to adjust. So they're usually like a good, I would say a good week behind, at least a week. So we could see like a drop in Warlock next week just based on that. But what do you get? The Glass Knight, what do you get? What do you guys think about this card? Like, this card, I feel like when Even Paladin first came out was in it, and then it just kind of disappeared from it. Obviously, you know, we had Cult Arms and stuff like that before, but you like this card though? Like,
this is a very flexible card. You can play like Hammer of Wrath or this. You can play the Charge Guy, the 3/2 Charge Guy with Lifesteal. Mm-hmm. You can play Black Knight. Just like a bunch of different cards.
This guy has Divine Shield for Corpse Taker, was one of the main reasons I was playing it. So to keep my Corpse Takers active, because I wasn't playing Tyrion, and then you only have this and Crystal Smith Kangor sometimes. So the Death Rattle is really important for that. And also, it's just, it's an anti, the only other Death Rattle card you have is Steed, right? So if you want to play around an AoE without overcommitting, it's like another way to do that. Mm. But you don't actually, the heal thing rarely happens where you actually get it right back. It's quite neat when it does happen, but often you play like a 4-mana 4/4 and which just dies, or like a Yeti 4-mana 4/5, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty much just True Silver that heals, right? Like, there's nothing else.
Corpse Taker heals, right?
Oh, Corpse Taker does too. Okay, right.
I prefer the 3/2 charge guy with Lifesteal because it is also a card for Corpse Taker. It's just a different one, but I like the buff from the
life steal.
6-mana weapon. No, when it hits, it's another very good target to hit.
Oh, right. Oh, I see what you mean.
You want to hit charge stuff, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, you're telling me this was like the number one legendary weapon, right?
Yeah, from win rate, yeah.
Okay. Man, QQ Alaneth. Murloc Mage trying to still keep you relevant. All right, so anything else in these decks that might be a little bit new? I don't really see anything. I think for the most part, these decks that were doing well the last 24 hours are kind of the old versions of the deck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
These are all not like really new decks or anything like that.
No. It's kind of like just, again, old ones like kind of resurfacing. And I mean, I was saying before, I was seeing Odd Paladins with these, you know, Witch's Cauldrons in them, which, you know, it's like brought me back to the first day of the expansion with Savitz, or, you know, and seeing that again.
I was thinking about that, and when you said it on your tweet, I was thinking everyone got a free Witch's Cauldron, right? Recently.
Oh, that's in. True.
So
that's,
I was thinking,
true.
Maybe they put the Witch's Cauldron in their Paladin deck, because it actually is all right in that deck.
No, it's not bad. You know, you get a Bloodlust or something. It's pretty sweet. I've almost died. Actually, I haven't lost to one of those Paladins yet, but I've come very, very close just based on some of those Shaman spells they get. It's crazy. Okay, well, we'll see how things change next week, you know, with the meta. But, you know, right now, you know, I think it's a tiny bit or at least a little bit different with Paladin just making its mark in the meta right now. And we've got, you know, BlizzCon coming up in about a week and a half. Hopefully we get a good announcement. You think we'll have any kind of, like, teasers or anything in terms of, like, what's going to happen at BlizzCon? We typically don't, right? We typically never hear anything leading up to BlizzCon.
They might tease the new expansion at BlizzCon.
Well, for sure at BlizzCon they'll announce the new expansion.
Or they might. Yeah. I mean, they might do like sometimes they do a tweet of like just an image or something.
Oh,
right?
Think they'll do that? Yeah, okay, that'd be cool.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I'll take some of that. Something. Yeah, something would be pretty nice. I wonder who's going to be giving the talk this year. You know, it's usually Ben, right? Ben usually is it. I wonder who's. I guess Dave Kozak would probably be the guy, right? Like,
yeah,
most
Dave
likely, or Peter Whalen or something.
Yeah, one of them, I imagine, or maybe the dev team, like Dean Ayala. And, I don't know.
Oh, I don't think it'll be one of those guys.
Okay.
They usually don't. I mean, they usually don't put them up for stuff like that. So, but after last year's was epic, man. Last year's with the, you know, the dungeon run, that was really sweet, and that was the first time where all the presentations were done in different places, you know, and I think they're going to do the same thing again this year. I bet, Gar, you probably don't even know what I'm talking about, but in the past,
I watched the stream.
Oh, you, okay. So you
could, Ben Brode, right?
Yeah. But Ben Brode was like on the Hearthstone stage. He wasn't on you know, the normal, you know, big stage that BlizzCon that in the past everybody would get on. So I'm sure they're going to do it again because it worked so well last year. And I wonder where Diablo one's going to be actually, because the Overwatch one, Jeff Kaplan will probably be in the arena and Hearthstone on the Hearthstone section, which is kind of off by itself again. And then, yeah, kind of curious where the Diablo one is, because I think everybody's looking forward to see what that big announcement will be.
Like, I still remember the epic meme from TJ, where he did the Corridor Creeper meme. I think he was, like, standing up, and he, like, there was, like, a Q&A with Ben Broad on the main stage, and he was standing up and, like, repeating the Corridor Creeper copy-paste from Twitch chat. Very slowly. Was it Frodan? I don't remember. But it was so funny.
I don't remember that. Really? I totally missed that.
I still remember that.
It was TJ. Awesome. I remember.
It was TJ. Wait, he was on mic saying it over and over again?
It was like a break between games, and they were doing some fun stuff, and he was just reading out the code. Like, it was a sleeper.
Yeah, in Dungeons, I go deeper.
I see.
Like, he was reading it from God or something. It was so good.
when you actually bring up the card in the collection, right? What do we call those card? What do we call those? Card, not card descriptions. What are they called?
Like flavor.
Flavor. That's what the flavor types. That's what it is. Yeah. So, it's so funny. There's really good. One of these days, I'm going to go through every single one, and we should talk about it on ValueTown, because every so often I'll see something amazing on Reddit that I never knew existed. Like they showed Hagatha and Hanzo main recently or something like that. Like Hagatha's flavor has something about being a Hanzo main, like at the end of it, which is pretty funny. Vigar, you said that there was another one.
I remember, like, Frodan asked, "Does anyone have more questions in the crowd?" And then he pointed at TJ, and he was sitting in the crowd. Now I remember.
Okay, good stuff. All right, guys. Well, we're gonna take some questions or Q&A. So, if you guys have any in chat, be sure to just go ahead and type those out. We'll definitely take a look at it. In the meantime, we do have another sponsor of the show this week, and it's our friends at ZipRecruiter. Those of you that, I don't know if you've ever had the issue of trying to hire an employee, trying to find it, and you're like, you have the hardest time, like, going through all these other sites and getting a bunch of people sending you these resumes that don't even match or whatever site or tool that you're using, and you're just getting all these like resumes that are just not candidates that you would ever want to hire, and generally it's just not a smart use of your time. Well, ZipRecruiter is gonna fix that for you, because it is definitely the smartest way to recruit. And so if you go to ziprecruiter.com/valuetown right now, you can not only hire the right person, but you can also try it out for free. And what ZipRecruiter does is it takes or it aggregates all these resumes and candidates from a lot of different sites, and it puts it like right in front of you in just one place. And it allows you to kind of give your parameters, and it'll give you the best candidates given the parameters that you've given a ZipRecruiter. And it is the number one job, or at least it's the rated number one by employers of US to be the number one recruiting site. So, definitely take a look at that. If you are, a company trying to look for candidates right now and having trouble with that, this is going to be perfect for you. So, again, go to ziprecruiter.com/valuetown right now and, check it out. All right. Questions. We've got a question from Twitter. It's Alex Wild Meta. Due to ever-expanding card pool and high population of combo OTK decks in Wild, do you think a change to 45 card decks a change to 45 card decks and possibly 45 starting health would dilute card draw enough and maybe push health out to a point that combos don't dominate the meta? We've definitely talked about the possibilities of expanding the health pool and the card decks, and I feel like they've kind of done it, right? Or at least there's been examples of them trying it with, Amara and, like the Priest Quest, as well as, we see decks getting over 30 cards, right? And depending on certain cards that they've made, whether it's Prince Malcazar, and, we've seen things like that, right? So it seems like it's possible. I mean, it's clearly possible within the realms of the engine and design and whatnot. Do you think that it's worth doing, or do you think that, you know, this 30 health, 30 cards is like this paradigm that they'll just never get away from? Like, will the game evolve over time to be something that would go longer, I guess you could say? What do you think, Boar?
I think it's a signature feature of Hearthstone, just have those 230s. I don't see that changing, especially considering the things you hear about Wild. The reason why I don't like changing cards in Wild so much is because their idea of Wild is not to be competitive, but to be, if you remember a combo that you did before in the past, you just want to revisit those old cards, do that thing you used to do before, and you can just do that again. I think that's what they want from Wild, just to revisit old fun stuff, or maybe new cards with the old cards,
yeah.
Stick them together and just try out new stuff for fun rather than make it competitive. And I think they want loads of broken combos to happen and you to be having fun doing them rather than controlling them by adding more cards and more health. I think that would just, it's an issue. Like, they're quite happy, I think, with how long the average game time is and stuff, and that's just going to increase it and people might get bored and stuff. I'm not so sure.
Except Aviana Kuhn combo.
No.
That doesn't work anymore. That doesn't work anymore. Yeah. So I'll take a different stance on it. I think that, you know, if we want to make it different, or we want to make Wild more different than Standard, you know, taking an approach like that, I think is one very clear way to make that format different. You know, having different health pool and have a different number of cards. I mean, it would be significantly different. I mean, if we had 45 cards in your deck, it's a completely different game. I mean, I mean, 45 might be too much. Maybe it's like 40, or maybe even 35. I mean, meta would be super different with 35 card decks. I think that we would see different types of gameplay and whatnot. So I don't know. I think it's something that could be interesting, worth considering, you know, going 35, 40. 45 is too much, though. 45, I mean, we got 45 decks. I mean, 45 cards in your decks. That's like, it's like a 15-card sideboard. I mean, it's insane. You know, like, that's almost an entirely different deck. I do think that they won't change it, though, just because, I think they take into consideration casual play and mobile play and you know, having it be any longer than it is, it probably is past the ideal time range for a game session. Okay, that's a good question, though. Definitely good. See, are there any other, you guys have any other questions? Definitely ask them in chat again. Let's see. I have a question for you guys. Here we go. Karamitsu. Yeah. Do you think Quest Rogue will see a lot of play in upcoming tournaments? I mean, Gara, I'll ask you. I won't ask for that. Gara, do you think Quest Rogue will be played a lot in the upcoming tournaments?
I mean, now with Boar Controls, it's saying it's still good, and definitely not.
He's metagaming his opponents, is what he's doing, dude.
Absolutely.
It's the best deck.
It's the best. It's still winning against everything.
Gara approves.
It beats me all the time.
It's so strong.
Yeah.
It has no counters.
It still fits into some tournament lineups if you're going for certain strategies,
but it's still
an anti-control deck for sure.
Honestly, it comes down to if other rogue decks are better anti-control decks, because rogue is one of the go-to anti-control classes in anti-control strategies always since the beginning of time. And at some points we played like Miracle Rogue because that was the best version. Now it could be just that, you know, Maligos Death Rattle Rogue, or like Death Rattle Rogue or Miracle Rogue or whatever is just a better anti-control deck than Quest Rogue. That's like, and then you will automatically not see Quest Rogue just because there's a better anti-control rogue.
Yeah.
Not because Quest Rogue is not good enough or something.
Okay, West 4, you asked, do you guys think, it's kind of, I guess, getting back to the whole previous question, do you guys think that if they do less than 30 slots, that will speed up the game as a pro, and as a con, it might make it more boring, simple to play it? I mean, I guess we've kind of seen like a very drastic version of that with Tyrant Brawls, you know, only playing like 5 card decks or 10 card decks type of thing, or even two card decks. Yeah, I mean, what do you think? What do you think if we went down to like 25? Like, how does the game affected that way? Is it? What do you think is taken out? Is it like removal and it's just all out minion craziness, or do you think? I don't know. Or is it something different? Or is it minions that are taken out? Like, what do you think?
We already see Hunter plays basically with 26 cards because they all have 2 trackings in their decks.
That's a good point.
Really doesn't change too much, right? It just means that you just cut basically some of the worst cards. You just pick better cards. So you're still doing the same stuff. You just have a slightly higher chance to draw your better cards. And you just see the more OP stuff happen more often. I think that's all that really changes.
Yeah, but it's for all the OP decks. Like if Druid, you know, Quest Rogue, Shadowwalk Shaman. It's like all the stuff happens faster.
Yeah, Shadowwalk.
Shadowwalk would be hot and crazy.
You only play the key cards. You don't need Cardro. They're just faster.
Yeah, it'd be kind of interesting to see what people cut. Because I don't see like a whole new deck being built just because it's 25 cards. I feel like it's just like existing great decks and just, you know, what can you get away with, right? Or what can maybe even help get you there quicker?
I think it's worse for aggro than for because you increase the mulligan as well, like the percentage of having a good mulligan with a greedy deck.
Yeah.
Like you get Vycroft turn 2 even more often.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah. Oh, somebody said Mechathune. Yeah, Mechathune would be easy mode, man. I think so. I think that's probably a good point, too. Just have less time to get stuff on the board. So
I think increasing or decreasing the card count is both. It doesn't have an upside for him. It's only bad.
Yeah, that's probably one thing they've done super well.
If you have too many cards, we increase mulligan inconsistency for all decks, which is bad. That's one of the very good things about Hearthstone, that you have the mulligan system is pretty good in Hearthstone, and the consistency of hitting like playable cards early is better than in other card games. And the second thing is like if you have too few cards, then you increase the OP stuff even more, and that's bad. I think so 30 is perfect.
So here's a question: Mechathune decks, good for the game or bad for the game?
Bad.
Boar?
I like that there's a way to be able to counter decks that all they try and do is kill all your stuff and not try and win through doing anything. And you can have a way to counter that, which is Mechathune. Currently, none of the Mechathune decks are particularly powerful. And I think that's how they should be. They have a weak deck, but it has a job. And if everyone's playing Odd Warrior, then you can play your Mechathune and you can punish them for playing their deck, which doesn't actually have a win con apart from removing all your stuff. So I think it's fine to be in the game. It just shouldn't be too powerful. You should be able to get it off against like aggro all the time and mid-range stuff.
# bring back Dirty Red.
Bring back Dirty Red. Yeah.
You can't play it in Odd Warrior still, Dirty Red, but it gives a counterplay to Mechathune for decks, random control decks. #bring back Dirty Red.
Yeah, I'm still on the fence about that one. Because I know the purpose it serves, but it's just, I don't know. It kind of falls into the alternate win conditions and not that much interaction, right? It's...
Well, there's interaction, sort of. You can keep minions in your hands, and it's RNG if he pulls the one he wants.
Oh! I mean, you're talking about. Hey, you're talking about Dirty Red. You mean?
Yeah. Embrace the RNG.
I actually think with Mechathune Druid, there's tons of interaction. The other Mechathunes, where they just do their combo and it's just on the board. But if you realize this Mechathune Druid early, you can be like, right, he's got this many cards, like Spellstone, he needs to play. And he's got this many minions left, and you can be like, right, I'm going to play nothing. And he'll be stuck at the end of the game with removal in hand. And then sometimes you can get them like that. Whereas if you're playing against Priest or whatever, they just always do it. And then against Warlock, it doesn't matter what's in their hand, right? Because it just gets blown up. I think those ones are bit more problematic. Was against Druid, you can at least realize what's going on and try and adapt your game plan accordingly, which is what you should be able to do, right? Change how you play as a result of your opponent's deck.
Yeah.
Be like, he's going to do this combo. There's nothing I can do to prevent it. That sucks.
Yeah, that's true.
Like Mechatoon Priest literally gets Mechatoon off on curve. As soon as you hit 10 mana, you just have the combo and you win. It's just so super bad versus aggro. That's a huge problem with that deck.
Yeah, well, thank goodness. Thank goodness it's bad against aggro. It would be way, way out of control.
It would be the best deck in the game because it always wins in curve.
Yeah. Okay, so Dustin, or actually Elevix, had another question. What are your thoughts on adding a class ban to standard ladder? Perhaps only a legend rank to better mimic the average gamer sees in competitive tournament experience. Do you feel it would be too detrimental to the ladder meta and lead to too many mirrors? I don't even know how that would work, though. Like, what do we do? You mean we get a chance to ban, like, opponents classes, like we, it's like a filter kind of thing, basically.
Yeah,
is that what we're talking
about? Okay, I think so.
Okay,
and Druid. I would enjoy Hearthstone so much more.
I think that's what everyone would say, and then they'd realize that there's another thing they lose to and don't like. They'll start
hitting something else. Then you ban that class. You're like,
yeah, nice. I don't. I mean, I don't think filters. I don't think filters actually do much.
I think it's very good, honestly. I think
really?
It's insanely good. First of all, because of many reasons. I could talk about this like in a whole new episode of Value Town. Like, okay, one of the main reasons, or the biggest issue I have, is the main way to generate HCT points is through ladder finishes. And what you basically qualify for preliminaries or whatever tournament, HCT tournament, and they always have a ban format in the actual tournament. So basically you qualify through a non-ban format for a ban format tournament, whatever. And ladder is so different than the tournament meta. Like, it's so different. Like, so it's completely different.
But filters aren't bans. Like, they're not really bans.
It is a ban. It is.
It doesn't mimic it. I would be up for, like, as you say, playing best of fives on maybe not on ladder, but on a new mode in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, ladder mode. Let's go.
But my issue with filters is, he kind of alluded to a little bit, like, you know, you would play mirror matches eventually, is that it's already polarized. You know, like, then it's easier for you to, you'd be cutting down the chances of you not hitting your, you know, either your counter deck, and then you'd just be winning a ton of time. You'd be winning 66% of the time. You know, like, so you're not 66, but your win rate would go up drastically because,
I mean,
you control
win rate can't go up, right, though.
Yeah, but then you would end up playing mirrors, right? Or there would be an adjustment based on that, right? So
something would happen.
But you could ban the mirror. Then you don't face mirrors ever.
Well, how many bans we got? We banned three classes or something.
Just
ban
the mirror. You will never face mirror.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, if you're playing like Benedictus Priest or something, you can ban the priest.
Go as well. There's like one best deck in the game. Everyone bans the mirror, and just no one finds a game. Like mid-range shaman meta.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, everybody's just queuing, waiting for a match forever. Oh man, that'd be funny. Let's see. Okay, Avalion 13 asks, would a single deck best of three format with a small sideboard like MTG be good for Hearthstone? Woo, yeah. I thought of that this many times, but what do you guys think?
I'm a big fan of seeing different forms of tournaments. Every tournament I go to, is this best of five Conquest or best of five LHS? It's like, that's the only question we have for the answer, and that one ban. Mm-hmm. I would love to see anything with sideboards, just anything where we can get an edge by just thinking outside the box, doing something different. And maybe that would even be, the people say it's too complicated for the viewers because they won't understand the modes you're doing, but I think it might be interesting for them. If you can explain it well, what's going on, having more bans or having a sideboard would be very interesting from a player's point of view in terms of deck building going in.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard your opinion on this. What? Like, what do you think of single deck sideboard type of thing?
I think everything that is creative is good or different is good. And like, for example, okay, sideboarding is, I mean, it doesn't really fit in the whole Conquest LHS with a ban concept. Like, how would you implement sideboard in that? That makes kind of no sense. Or it's weird.
Well, it's not LHS. It would just be like single deck, single class, best of three.
I think in Hearthstone, yeah, because of the polarization of matchups, it's horrible. I don't think you can like sideboard Questrogue to beat suddenly Tempo Mage. I know Tempo Mage is no longer a thing. Like, why would sideboard help you? And it's the same with like a bar, let's say a Barkabar sideboard. Like, what's this going to help you?
Well, that's the thing. Like, well, you're making the assumption you start with the same strategy you currently do, and you just sideboard from there.
Swap out a few cards. That's Questrogue, right?
But yeah. It's not balanced between the classes how it benefits you. For Druid, you can change probably like three different Druid decks.
Five cards and have like completely different Druid decks.
And then you have Paladin, and you're like, yeah, I have Odd Paladin. And like, okay, maybe Odd Paladin doesn't. I mean, let's say even Paladin. Yeah, I have like three cards in my sideboard that I use for. And your Druid can go Mega Toon Druid.
Yeah.
Anikos Druid, or like, I don't know, Toon Druid if you have 10 cards sideboard. Yeah, I don't know. It seems pretty unbalanced. I don't think Hearthstone is a good game for sideboard.
Yeah, I've had numerous discussions with this. I remember talking to multiple people, even Kibler, I remember at one point. But and I don't know. I still think there might be something there. I just think I don't know. I definitely would want to ask like a lot more people, but most of the pro players I've talked to don't think sideboard is very
just
doable.
Because some classes benefit so much more from it than others right now.
Yeah, but you could, I mean, okay, barring that the mirror matchup might be just like boring to watch, but, you know, then everybody plays the same class. I mean, you know, that is an element that could happen too, and could be an acceptable element if this whole sideboarding thing is interesting, and for whatever reason the mirror is interesting. But I think that one thing that's hard to get away from, and I don't know, I feel like there is, you know, an element of thinking out of the box for this is, you know, it's kind of like what you were saying, Gar, with like Questrogue. Like, everybody thinks about the best card, the decks in the meta right now, and how we would sideboard off of that. But does the sideboarding format like force you to just think about the decks that you build to be more versatile, just generally? You know, like, does a versatile deck have an advantage over a deck that was built off of like an existing best deck and then just five cards that could be swapped? You know, like, is that a better way to think about, you know, a meta for a term like this? Or is it better just to just think of 20 cards? Like, just think of like a 20 card type of situation and how you build like a very versatile deck for a three game series. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but like I said, it's so imbalanced. Like, with Druid would be so good in a format like that. Just
because, okay, so both people play Druid.
Right?
Let's just say every three, both people play Druid. And it's a matter of, you know, who can have the best sideboard.
It's very boring to watch, to be honest.
Yeah, and then it's like just RNG. Oh, I happen to pick the right sideboard cast this game.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, exactly. Like, they would both try to build a Druid deck that beats the mirror, and then they just...
Okay, so...
That's skill intensive, more like, yeah.
So is it an issue with just the whole class aspect of Hearthstone? Because let's take it back to Magic, right? Why does it work in Magic? Like, why are people interested in it in Magic? Like that sort of format. Is the format itself dated, or is it just the game? Like, it just doesn't fit this game.
Yeah, I think it's more to the game. Mm. I think we might see it coming back again in future games.
You think so?
Like, it really comes down to how the card game is designed, right? How it around what it evolves around.
Yeah.
And like, for example, in Magic, I don't think like matchups are that polarized. And like, certain sideboard cards would help you a lot, but are really bad in a lot of matchups. It's like, and the matchups are much closer. And in Hearthstone, like, you kind of have to change your entire deck to be good, like, in a different matchup. It's not like just... Because the decks have changed. Like, maybe sideboarding was good in the beginning of Hearthstone, where we didn't have, like, Baku decks or like Gen decks and like Quest Strokes, you know, where a deck evolves around freaking building around the quest, right? And we don't have that in Magic, such crazy. Maybe like what?
There's not like an accepted best deck, like or best five decks in Magic. Is that true? I mean,
no, it's about sideboarding in general, like how individual cards, how they change matchups and how much they help you. And it's the whole dynamic of the matchup and everything. It's so different in Hearthstone, right? Like, for example, if you think about, I don't know, Control Priest comes to my mind immediately. Like, what cards would you take? Like, and it's so imbalanced. Like, if you have a sideboard for Druid, you have like three or four different decks. And a sideboarding like Paladin, whatever, it's just like, I don't know, you take like two White Reapers or what in your sideboard. It seems so wrong to have that in Hearthstone.
Yeah,
I mean, other games, it's like the people have the same tech cards or like the same sideboard cards for like stuff that is broken, but you could counter it with those tech cards.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
You can't really do that. You have to change your entire deck.
The more we talk about this, the more I just think that the format's just not good. I don't know if the format's that great. Like, if we have just like one card counters, you know, is that really that great? You know, like for this type of strategy in terms of picking and whatnot, you know, because I mean, that's what everybody thinks of sideboard as, right? Like sideboard is supposed to be a bunch of, you know, kind of counter utility cards, you know, that people can just throw in there. Then it's like Ooze and Black Knights and Silences and stuff like that. And it's just like minor tweaks to your deck. Doesn't like completely change, you know, the really strengths and weaknesses or just the strengths of your deck. And you just continue playing on. It just gives you like a higher percent chance of winning. I mean, I just don't think that's very interesting these days. Like in you know these type of card games. Like, so I don't know. My point is, I think sideboarding might be dated, just a dated format. And you know, with net decking and just optimizing and refining decks, how speed of which it happens now, we don't have imperfect decks anymore. You know, like we have like close to perfect decks, like once the meta settles. And I think it's hard to be able to do the sideboarding thing when that happens.
I think sideboarding makes a lot of sense in single deck format though.
Yeah, of course it does. It only makes sense in a single format.
Yeah, exactly. And in Hearthstone makes more sense to have like nine deck tournaments modes, like as different formats. Like in decks.
Right. Yeah.
Like Trinity series, for instance.
Yeah.
It makes so much more sense in Hearthstone. And I think it's cooler because that's like so different to other card games that we have these nine classes in Hearthstone. And I think you should focus more on doing
stuff. But isn't that Last Hero Standing, basically? I mean, it's essentially the same, right? Like
it doesn't have to be Last Hero Standing Conquest. Like we had the strike format and the coup format and whatnot. Okay. Like you can do different stuff, but it's like using these different classes, like to implement these different classes in your whatever double ban or whatever. Just implement the aspect of having classes in your game,
right?
Formats, because it's different than it's much better than just copying what other card games do.
Yeah.
Something unique.
All right, one more question. Last question. Panchalk, do you guys think card design has become constrained as of lately? Limited burst damage, no more power, 1-2 drops, too many classes in the game, no access to secrets in 5 out of 9 classes, meaning zero interaction during opponent's turns. Okay, so I guess the general question is, like, do we think it's constrained lately? I think some of the examples you give are more... I don't know if they're constrained. I just think they're just thematically doesn't make sense. Doesn't make the thematically sense for all nine classes to have secrets. Like, for instance, like, I don't think that should happen. You know, so, I don't know. So anyways, question, do you think that there are constraints right now? And
I think it's the opposite with the cards that have recently come out. We've seen like Myra's Unstable Element draw your whole deck. We saw like yeah. the cards that were released in the most recent expansion, crazy cards.
Yeah.
Like we saw the, even though some of these cards might not see play, they have insane potential in the future. Like Luna's Pocket Galaxy, every minion costs one. Like, these are cards you can just run on your deck, and they I know, especially I think Mike Donese has said publicly, like they've been given more free will. They're happier to print cards they otherwise wouldn't have printed in the past. They're willing to take more risks than just nerf the cards that if they're too OP. So
right.
I think that it's more of a thematic thing, as you were saying, about not having sequence certain classes. I think the constraints are generally off in terms of other things, like what they're thinking about powerful cards, such as the cube we were talking about. That card's kind of crazy compared to the past as well.
Yeah, I mean, you bring up like Myra. I freaking love Myra. I think Myra is like a really, really cool card, and you know, I think it's been relatively balanced too. You know, ever since they've done it, and so yeah, I think that they've gotten really creative. You know, some of the things that we've been hoping for in custom card designs and stuff like that, we're starting to see. You know, and I think that yeah, like they're not very shy about trying those things, and you know, if anything, they've gone too powerful, you know, in some instances, and we've had to dial back. Gar, you think they're restrained at all?
It's interesting, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I'm like 50-50.
Okay.
I'm like,
well, how about that for an answer? But okay, so if you're on the fence about it, is basically what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It might be just one of those things where in some instances they kind of say that they're restrained and it's just like, we don't understand why.
They also removed this whole like Heroes of Warcraft, right? They were in the beginning very bound to like the whole Warcraft aspect of it. That's why we have like secrets in Hunter and Mage, because in World of Warcraft and Warcraft we have secrets
with
these classes. But now they went away with it. So I think they want to do more crazy stuff. And then now, like for example, in Warcraft, we have no rogue secrets as well, and they meant those. So maybe they just go crazy in the future. Who knows? Like super crazy. I mean, they're already going crazy, but maybe even maybe we will see, like, I don't know, warrior secrets. I mean, if you make rogue secrets, might as well
rogue heal. No, rogue healing or
like druid is getting more armor generation than warrior. Like, warrior doesn't even have the best weapons in the game. Like, it's already pretty mixed up.
Yeah.
Hunter is playing control. So, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Going crazy.
Okay. All right. So, why don't we wrap up? Lots of good questions today. We spent a good amount of time on the Q&A today. But, War Control, thanks for dropping by, man. Good stuff again. And good luck this weekend at Orange County. I'm sure you're going to take it home so we can celebrate at BlizzCon.
It's replay.net,
baby. Yeah, pick that lineup. Pick that lineup. Use the site. Speaking of which, I don't know if you guys have all checked out the new filters. Have you guys seen the new filters, tried out the new filters we've had? You guys enjoy
it? I'm using them a lot. I like the top 1,000 legend filter.
Yeah,
Now.
Have you seen the experienced one? The experienced player one?
Yeah, the 50 games. I use that one as well. Yeah, that one's also good for the top 1,000, but for the hold of legend, I always put it on 50 now.
Yeah, cool, man. Yeah, we actually had a couple filters that were related to that, but we wanted to at least introduce the experience ones first, just so you guys can get used to what it even means. You know, a lot of people don't even understand what that even means, so that's cool that you guys are picking up on it. So those of you wondering, you know, we got obviously EdgeJustReplay.net has these awesome premium filters that you can use, and obviously it's going to help you pick exactly the kind of deck that you want to play and really get a sense for, you know, the meta you want to check out. And the new filters are all here. They have the new things by them. So we even have the latest patch ones too for you to check out. And we have the arena one too. Like is the arena one gone now? Shoot. There's one for even just for the dual arena. So you could check out that. But yeah, lots of stuff coming. You know, these are just like, you know, just a few of them. We've got some more stuff coming in the next month, so be on the lookout for that. But anyways, War Control, thanks again for coming. Any shout outs you want to do before we take off?
Shout out to my team Fate Karma, and then the stream as well, Ball Control HS, Twitter @Ball Control. Give me a follow over there.
Awesome. All right. Gara, how about you?
Shout outs to my stream. Twitch.tv/GaraBishow and I stream every day. And shout outs to Boar for being on the show. Always nice. And to you, Chim.
All right. Oh, yeah. I was waiting for that. I actually had to wait for that. Wow.
Always being on the show.
Oh, man.
That's 2000 and late.
Exactly. 2000 and late. Oh man. All right, actually one other thing I wanted to give a shout out is just to all our patrons, because you know, we didn't get a chance just because we had two sponsors today. So I want to give a shout out just to our quick patrons: Mike Tier, Legendary Producer, Raydan, Bryce L, Peter V, Keepa, Greg S, Chris Chilmaw, Blake T, N Burst, Gabriel G, David H, David F. Thanks so much, guys. You guys are awesome. If you want to support us, go to patreon.com/valuetown. Another thing too is we're doing a meetup at BlizzCon for ValueTown and for HSReplay.net. So if you want to meet the people behind HSReplay.net, just the entire team, come by the bowling alley, Bowmore, which is like really close to the convention center. Those of you that have been to BlizzCon, you know exactly what I'm talking about, that bowling alley in the shopping center over there. And first 25 people get a free exclusive t-shirt that you can only get at BlizzCon that we have and we're going to be giving away. So yeah, come have some fun with us. It's from 9 to 11 on Friday. And, you know, we'll obviously be talking about it again next week and you know, some more as we're leading up to it. But anyways, you can find the show on YouTube, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, SoundCloud.com/ChamMV. And that's going to be it, guys, for this week. So for Board Control, myself, ChamMV, and Gara, to mix up the order a little bit this week, we'll see you next week. Thanks. Later.